is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, your host and publisher of Mac's List. I believe that to find a job you can love, you must stop spending all day on job boards. That's because as many as 80% of all jobs never get advertised. To uncover these hidden positions, you must learn how to look for work. Here's the good news. Job hunting is like any skill, and you can get good at it with study and practice. This show helps you do this. Every Wednesday on Find Your Dream Job, I talk to a different career expert. We discuss tactics and tips you can use to find a job that matters. In a moment, I'm going to talk to Clark Finnickle. He's the author of a new book about job hunting. It has almost 50 five-star reviews on Amazon. He's also a veteran job seeker himself. Clark says much of what we're told about job hunting isn't true. Do you believe, for example, that you should never call or write a hiring manager? Or you should only apply for jobs where you meet, say, 80% of qualifications? And how about this one? You must tell a hiring manager what you earned at your last job. Clark says these are all myths. And if you ignore these and other lies told to job seekers, you will get better gigs, higher salaries, and more career satisfaction. Want to learn more? Join me here at the Mac's List studio as I interview Clark Finnickle. Now let's turn to this week's guest expert, Clark Finnickle. Clark Finnickle is the author of Job Hunting Secrets from Someone Who's Been There. Clark worked in the corporate world for 30 years, and he knows firsthand what it's like to look for a job. He's done five successful searches himself. Clark is passionate about dispelling myths that put a job seeker at a disadvantage. He shares his career advice in frequent articles for LinkedIn. He also volunteers as a career coach. Clark joins us today from Kenneth City, Florida. Clark, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Mac. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to have you. And our topic this week, as you know, are job search myths that people need to stop believing. And what inspired our conversation is you have a great article about this topic on LinkedIn, and we'll include a link to it in the show notes. What you found is that a lot of us have misconceptions about job hunting and the hiring process. And I'd like to walk through some of those common myths. So at the top of your list, Clark, is a phrase that appears on a lot of job postings. And it goes like this: do not contact the hiring manager. Clark, why isn't this true? Why is this a myth?
Well, we have to put things in perspective and think about the players in the whole job-seeking environment. HR, who is putting out the job requisitions, wants to be in charge of the process, and they want to be the conduit. They want to be the channel by which all the applications are funneled, all communications are funneled to the hiring manager. So that's one reason why you hear that all of the time. And from another perspective, I could see why some hiring managers wouldn't want to encourage all applicants to call a hiring manager. At the same time, and I've researched this, a carefully and well thought out call at the right time to the hiring manager can make a tremendous difference in your career prospects. And the reason I say that, Mac, is this. As you know, almost all large employers use applicant tracking systems to manage their candidate selection process. And 75 to 90% of all applications are rejected by these applicant tracking or ATS systems. And not only that, they're notorious for misreading applications and resumes. So if you receive one of those automated rejection letters, a call to the hiring manager, a short, well thought out, a quick mention with a quick message as to your unique strengths that they would be interested in can make all the difference in the world. So, that's what I would, how I would answer that.
And I love that advice. And I can imagine listeners thinking, gosh, if I do that, I will upset the hiring manager. And whatever chances I had of getting ahead in that company will vanish. What do you say to people who worry that that will backfire, Clark?
Well, you know, like what I'm saying here, and that's totally understandable. But what I'm saying is go through the normal process of applying online and see whether you get to the point of getting an interview. And if you don't, if for whatever reason you get the rejection, now you have nothing to lose by calling the hiring manager. You've already been rejected. If you could make that call and craft a very short, succinct, well thought out message as to why the hiring manager would be interested in you, you know, basically, what are your strengths that would make him or her think that this is someone I have to talk to, then that makes you have nothing to lose and a great deal to gain.
Okay, I want to move on to other items on your list, but I know there are listeners who are thinking, well, I don't even know who the hiring manager is. You know, quick tips, Clark, about how to identify that person and find their phone number?
Sure. One of the best ways to do that is to do a search. Like, for example, let's say that I want a financial analyst job for a local company, and I will go into LinkedIn and I will see, okay, I'm a financial analyst, so chances are I would report to the manager of financial analysis or the director of financial analysis. So what I would do in LinkedIn is I'd plop the name of the company and I would search for that title. And that is going to give you, that's going to give you those, the people who are most likely going to be the hiring manager. Now, what you also will be able to ascertain or glean from the job description is the unique characteristics that are required there that may help you say, okay, this looks more like this financial analysis manager or this director of financial analysis based on, or their LinkedIn profile looks like it matches more with this job that is posted. That's how I would pursue that avenue.
Okay, so use your detective skills. It's out there, and it's maybe more of an art than a science, but chances are you can figure it out.
Exactly.
Here's another item from your list, Clark, and this is one I know you feel strongly about. It comes through loud and clear in your article, and that's the myth that you should only apply for a job if you've got 80% or more of the posted requirements. Clark, why isn't this true?
Well, I appreciate you asking me this because you're exactly right. I do feel very strongly about that. Here are the reasons why I don't follow that advice myself. Well, for one thing, the role that I'm currently in, because I have another job that I'm doing in addition to writing, the role that I'm currently in today, I didn't have 80% of the job requirements, but I was interviewed. I didn't get the job that I had applied for, but I was called back because of the exposure I got in my interview. I was called back for a second interview, and this December, I will have been working 5 years at that company. So that's one reason. Basically, the first reason being the exposure you get from interviewing for roles that might not be an 80% or better match. But there are a couple other reasons why I recommend this. In my experience, I've seen job descriptions that are 15 lines long in one continuous sentence. I've seen a hiring manager who's been so busy, he told me that he didn't have time to actually create a job description. So they just loaded a template. I've had hiring managers tell me that they haven't fleshed out the responsibilities of the role. So it's still in flux. And I've also seen job descriptions where it looks like they're asking for a Nobel Prize winner. So the bottom line is those are some of the factors that are going on. One of the other factors is ever since the internet came, it has been tremendously easy, significantly easier for people to apply for work. And HR has just basically gotten overwhelmed by the sheer number of applications. So HR's not so hidden agenda here is that they want to reduce the number of applications they receive. So that's part of it.
So in your experience, you've seen hiring managers are kind of on a fishing expedition. They don't know what they want, but they're using the hiring process as a kind of discovery. I have to ask though, Clark, when you see that job, it interests you. You don't have all the requirements that are listed. Are there tips that you have for listeners that they can incorporate into cover letters or resumes or other application materials that will increase the likelihood that they'll get a callback or an interview when they don't have all the qualifications?
Definitely, Mac, and that's a great question. You know, when I'm saying you don't have to have 80%, you can't apply if you have less than 80% of a job requirement, it's important to understand that the way a lot of job requisitions are written, they frequently have a lot of corporate jargon and maybe are not really, therefore not always clear. So I lean toward applying if there's anything in that role that really looks exciting for you. You know, you may find out that you're a perfect match because things weren't well explained in the job description. I think one of the key things that you have to look at when you're applying is when you're submitting your cover letter. One of the things I strongly believe in is you have to take advantage of every opportunity you have. And so when I write my cover letter, I have included quotes from prior bosses that have written LinkedIn recommendations for me. And these are recommendations that are the type of things that turn heads, because few things matter more to a hiring manager than what your past boss thought of you. So that's what I would include in the cover letter. I would strongly recommend doing that. And I have I speak about that in, I think one of my, LinkedIn posts, and, you know, that would be my advice.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Clark, and we're going to continue our conversation about these job hunting myths we got to stop paying attention to. And what I really want to get to at the, in the next segment at the top is salary history, this idea that you need to share your pay history with hiring managers. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this announcement. I love podcasts, especially shows about careers. When I planned this program 4 years ago, I spent weeks listening to podcasts about job hunting. I did this because I wanted to learn from other podcast hosts, and I wanted to make sure this show offered something unique. As I did my homework, I found dozens of great career advice shows. Each of these broadcasts offers remarkably valuable information about how to get a great job and get ahead in your career. It can be hard to find these shows, however. Apple Podcasts has more than 550,000 programs this year. That's why I created the Top Career Podcast Guide. It's a directory of 78 of this year's best podcasts about how to find work you can love. Get your free copy today. Go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. I've listened to every one of these programs, and I've met a large number of the hosts. Many of them have been guests on this show, but all of them share this in common. They offer insanely great information you can use to tackle your career challenges. Find out for yourself how much these shows can help you. Go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. Again, that's maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. And now let's get back to this podcast. We're back in the Max List studio with Clark Finnickle. He's the author of Job Hunting Secrets from someone who has been there. And we're talking today about job search myths. These are ideas that many of us carry around that we think we rules unwritten and otherwise that we think we need to follow. And one of the big ones out there, Clark, is salary history. We think that we do indeed need to tell hiring managers what we earned at our last job. And there are disadvantages, obviously, to a candidate when you do this. Clark, why isn't this true? Why don't you need to share your salary history when you're applying for a position or when you're talking to a hiring manager before an offer has been made?
Well, basically, the only reason that they are asking for your last salary or your salary history is they want to pay you as little as possible. If you were making $80,000, they want to, you know, offer you $83,000 or $85,000. When the best way to determine your value is to go into Glassdoor or Indeed and see what the average salary is for someone with your skills and experience. That is the best way to determine what you should be paid.
Now, in some states, this has happened rather quickly in the last year, 2 or 3 years. It's now illegal in 10 states, in fact, for employers to ask about salary history. But in the places where it's still legal, what do you recommend candidates do or say when they're filling out an application that asks for that information or during a phone screener, for example, a recruiter might pose that question? What are good ways to respond, Clark?
Well, everyone's situation is unique. We all are in different situations, depending upon how quickly we need to get hired or how many offers we have. And that's going to color whatever choices we finally make. Basically, it's important to keep in mind that you are a valuable person. And to the extent that you can document your value by comparing it to the market, you're going to be better off and you're going to help the other people understand your value. Now, when you're doing this, you obviously don't want to just focus on your salary. You want to focus on your accomplishments, your achievements. You need to explain to people, hey, this is what I've done. This is what I've achieved. This is the money I've made, the money I've saved, the productivity that I've improved, the difference that I've made at past employers. So that should be part of your salary discussion. These are all the things I've done, and that's why I believe you should consider the market value when you're putting together my salary offer.
Okay. So bring the conversation back to the market value, and when it's time to talk about specific numbers, make sure you've done that homework, you've looked at Glassdoor and other sites you mentioned, so you know what the market is paying in your community for the skills you offer.
Yes.
Right. Here's another myth out there, and you and I think, are the same vintage. We're both older workers, and I certainly used to hear this even in my 40s when I was last out on the job market. It's hiring managers saying to candidates, or recruiters might say this as well, you're overqualified. Why do recruiters and hiring managers say that to candidates, Clark?
Well, nobody likes hearing it. And the bottom line is it's kind of like being told that outfit doesn't make you look fat. It sounds complimentary, but it's really hiding something. What I have found is that overqualified is the type of response that people, when either the recruiter or the hiring manager doesn't want to tell you why you didn't get the job. So that's what's I see going on when that happens.
Well, another myth that you mentioned in your list is job boards. And, you know, as you know, we run a job board at Max List, and you say that employers often will tell a job seeker, you got to use our website to find our jobs. But Clark, you say this isn't true. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, here's the reason why I say that. And the bottom line is, and I don't want to get on your bad side here, Mac, by saying okay. What I said
we're,
about
this. We're about proud of the value we offer, but no, please, go ahead, Clark.
But what I have found is some job seekers will go to spend a tremendous amount of time going to multiple job boards, when what I have found is I can go into Google and do an advanced search, for example, for financial analysts in Tampa Bay with specific skill sets, and I can get every single financial analyst role posted on any website for that are available to apply for. So if it basically comes down to this, Google is indexing our web for us, and it's basically using Google's search strengths to locate all of our jobs. I've just found that to be something that is worth considering, because instead of going to multiple places, you will see every single position that is posted in your area for the jobs you want. And I've found it amazing how easy it is to do that.
It's a big change in the industry. We do run a regional job board here at MaxList. Our listeners on the podcast are across the country and even overseas. And as you say, Google has begun indexing jobs in the last 18 months. And it is indeed true. If you Google, into the search box the kind of position you're looking for, Google has indexed all the boards and those positions will pop up. So it is a change, and I think it makes it easier for the job seeker. For companies like ours, we clearly have to offer more than just job listings, and I think successful boards like ours build community, and I think the sites that will endure will do the same. So I'm glad you brought that up. Now, here's something on your list, Clark, that surprised me. You said people shouldn't put a street address on a resume. Why is that?
Well, that's a great question. Donna Svei, S-V-E-I, had a wonderful post about this. What she explained is happening is that recruiters will look at your address and they will determine, when I say recruiters, I mean like, I guess it could be either internal or external, but they're going to say, oh, this person lives 40 miles away from the job location. They will quit in less than 6 months, and I will have to go through this process all over again. So basically, now, while I understand why they might think that, what they're not taking into consideration is the fact that people relocate. Some people like to like the commute, listen to books on tape and things like that. But basically, the whole fact of this is to, instead of using your home address, use the address of the last place that you worked at, so that you're using basically a metropolitan area address, or basically just the city as a whole. There are also, safety reasons as to why you shouldn't put your address on your resume in terms of people stalking you. But you just need to remember that anything that you put on your resume can and will be used against you in the court of the employment court, and how you're evaluated by recruiters and hiring managers.
I know other career coaches have shared on the show that another reason not to put your street or postal address on your resume is because it's using a valuable space. And it's not a fact that is, according to these other experts, that's that important to hiring managers. So you can use that space for other purposes.
Right.
And I also had a guest once who pointed out that you can find a picture of someone's home just by plugging in that postal address. So it's some people are uncomfortable with that. Well, Clark, it's been a great conversation. Now tell us what's next for you.
Well, Mac, I appreciate that. Right now, I am working on finishing book number 2. And that is a book that's tentatively titled as LinkedIn Strategies to Take Your Career to the Next Level. And I'm very excited about that.
Well, congratulations. I look forward to hearing about its publication. And I know people can learn more about you and the career advice you offer by visiting your LinkedIn page. We'll be sure to include a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. Clark, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Mac. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Clark Finical as much as I did. One of the big takeaways for me was his point about reaching out to hiring managers, especially after you've received a note that you're no longer a candidate for the job. I like Clark's point that you have nothing to lose by making that contact. And he had terrific advice about how you find that person. So I hope you'll take that into consideration as you do your own search. We'll be back next Wednesday. But if you can't wait until then, download our 2018 Guide to the Year's Best Career Podcasts. You'll find almost 80 shows, including this one, that can help you move ahead with your career and find a job you can love. Go to maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. Again, that URL is maxlist.org/topcareerpodcasts. In the meantime, thanks for joining us for today's episode of Find Your Dream Job, and come back next week when our special guest will be Jamie Lee. She'll explain why we need to use the F word in negotiation. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.